There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Literary Spotlight.
So just to introduce what we're going to be talking about today, we're shining a literary spotlight on bibliotherapy this week. For those of you who don't know, I think you probably can guess already what it means, but this is the definition, the official definition. Bibliotherapy is the use of books as therapy in the treatment of mental or psychological disorders. So the curative powers of storytelling, creative writing, and reading are not recent revelations. The healing power of literature dates back to ancient Greece, but is that therapeutic potential still relevant today, and how does it work? That's basically what we're going to be asking our two guests today. So Gamzee Hackley-Garay, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Gamzee is a psychotherapist and counsellor who recently conducted a reading for therapy workshop at the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature this year. And Alia Al-Shamsi, welcome to the show as well.
Thank you.
Alia is an Emirati-Italian author who participated in extensive bibliotherapy training programs organised by the UAE Board on Books for Young People. Now, rather than me going on about it, Alia, just before we get into things, these training programs, yeah. Can you just take us through kind of what they were focused on? They were focused on young people, weren't they?
Yes, it was focused entirely on, let's say, children. And it was a workshop organised by UAE Board on Books. And they invited Ella Gertrude from the School of Life in London. So it was a fantastic opportunity to have her on board, and she took us through the whole training program, and we actually conducted one session with the children.
And coming up, there's a project being worked on at the moment, which is to take bibliotherapy into refugee camps?
Correct. So one of the outcomes that we're hoping, we're still developing sort of the program and the workshops are still ongoing, but once those are complete, we're hoping to sort of dispatch the first group of bibliotherapists from the UAE into the different refugee camps. Just because, I mean, as you know, the circumstances, a lot of these children have not been to schools for quite a long time. So there's a two sort of a layer of benefit. One is sort of the education that a book can provide, but equally the sort of the therapy element of it, discussing emotions and working on emotional intelligence with these children of what they've been through and everything.
Okay, so that's what you're working on at the moment, and that's kind of the age group that you're working with. So
yes.
Gamzee, I just want to talk to you very briefly about this. So in your work as a psychotherapist and a counsellor, you deal primarily with adults, correct?
Yeah, we are dealing with adults in at personal level and in corporate stage, basically, but we are dealing with human psychology. So we are using different techniques and tools in psychotherapy, and reading is one of the complementary tools we use in psychotherapy, and it's quite helping to heal people in different ways.
But one thing that I just want to get started with is the fact that I think all of us know, and everybody listening knows, that we're told to read because it has a benefit, that reading is good for you. And one of the things that constantly comes up is empathy, isn't it? That it allows you to walk in somebody else's shoes. But bibliotherapy is about prescribing books to people, isn't it? So can you tell me a little bit about how that actually works in practice?
When you actually deal with a consultee or a client having a specific problem, our main aim as psychotherapists is just to define what the problem is, first of all, the purpose of the therapy, because you can't really do anything without the purpose, without a clear purpose. And what you do with the books, it's one of the tools, not the only tools, basically. I always say that that's a complementary method, not the only method. We use it for developmental psychotherapy because we can use books for, you know, two purposes. Either it's a clinical context or developmental context. In my case, because I'm dealing with positive psychology, we are using the books for developmental purposes, which means when you actually identify or choose books or texts with your client, I don't want to say client, but the consultee, mm-hmm. basically, and you help them to choose the one which they can identify themselves with.
And how do you do that? I'm so interested in which books you suggest or which texts you suggest and how you find those.
We don't actually start with the books. We start with the challenging emotions that mm-hmm. people are experiencing. Like, what are the main challenging emotions in psychology is anxiety, stress nowadays, everywhere, basically. Different emotions that we are not able to accept, like grief, mm-hmm. you know, indifference, ignorance, you know, different painful emotions people want to just get rid of. So after that, we just do kind of an exploration together. And then we let, I mean, at least in my case, I don't really tell people what to read.
Okay.
I never say this. And I help them to just discover by themselves by going to certain sites. I mean, they do a research like in Goodreads or Amazon, or they can even go to the bookstores.
So it becomes almost a project to find the text.
It's like a project
that are gonna
to find
the
text. And they can actually think about their past even. Mm. There are certain books probably in their past that made a big impact in their lives. Mm. Certain poetry, poetic texts, which help a lot because of the inner music of poetry is helping people to heal themselves. So they actually, it's like a kind of mutual project that they just find out what different textbooks in the past, in the current situation that can make an impact. And we were talking with Annabelle recently last week, and I was actually telling that this is not a literary context. So we don't really interrogate people how much they know about the books or novels or things, but we try to find out what are the best books for them to heal, or even the text of certain books, of certain genres, which can help them to heal themselves.
Alia, how does this work with children?
It's slightly different. First of all, I just want to say that for clinical cases, obviously there will be a psychotherapist or a psychologist on board. So we're looking at slightly different cases, and also emotional intelligence. So one of the exercises that we conducted was read a book that had a variety of emotions. It was about sheep that had to go to the dentist. Oh. And each one was like showing a different sort of emotion of how they feel about it. Mm-hmm. And this is fantastic because what we ended up doing is asking the children to identify these emotions. And by doing that, they're also allowing themselves to understand their own personal emotions. And that's the sort of key with the empathy, mm-hmm. with sort of understanding how they feel and sort of able to not only feel it, but also verbalize it. So that's one of the exercises that we do. So
it's like naming the emotions, probably.
It's naming the emotions, because a lot of the frustration comes from the lack of understanding. I'm angry, but really, why are you angry? What is it, anger? Is it frustration? So it's actually enabling children to have a higher level of emotional intelligence.
Of course, because children have very big emotions and they just don't,
exactly.
They aren't able to.
And they're very overwhelmed. Mm. So again, looking at the books, it usually is conducted with a group, mm-hmm. In a classroom. A lot of schools do this, which is phenomenal, reading outside sort of the academic curriculum. But doing it on a one-on-one, I've got a son. So for example, I wanted to talk to my son about death. You know, it is a very heavy subject, but kids nowadays are quite exposed. And so it's important to sort of discuss it on their level, but also sort of come close. So books are a phenomenal way of explaining things like death or divorce or, you know, bullying. There are some phenomenal books about bullying as well. And that creates this empathy, but also an understanding from a different perspective, from an outside perspective. And the kids sort of connect to that.
And they can see somebody else going through something that
exactly.
they've gone through or are going through, and how it ends for them. Does that help too?
Yes, exactly. So there's always this importance that, you know, if you are reading a book, you know, get the child to sort of summarize it in the end. What do they take out of it? Of course, sort of bearing in mind the age of the child, I mean, you know, they're still learning how to verbalize certain emotions and feelings, and their vocabulary might be limited, but start like initiating these conversations is very important at a very young age.
But I just want to launch us back into the discussion. Flora, you had something that you wanted to ask our listeners.
Yes, I wondered which books have made an impact on you. You know, text in and tell us which book has really changed your life, because a lot of this is finding the right book or the right text at the right time to have an impact on your emotions. And I think most of us who are readers will have a book that has done that. We'd love to know what they are.
So studies and statistics, that's what I want to share with you now. It's all very well and good. We know that reading helps. We've had a look at how bibliotherapy is helpful. But sometimes, you know, you need a few facts and figures for this. So If you needed any more excuse to read instead of doing that other important thing that you needed to do, I have plenty of excuses for you. So studies have shown that compared to other forms of relaxation, reading is 100% more effective than drinking a cup of tea, 300% more effective than going for a walk, 700% more effective than playing video games, and 6 minutes of reading reduces your stress levels by 60%. It slows your heartbeat, reduces muscle tension. It, you know, reading really is the answer. So if anybody's complaining at me for why I haven't done something and I'm reading instead, that's why. It's for my health.
They can walk and read at the same time, like audiobooks.
Yes, one of the questions I had was, what do you do with what we would term, I suppose, reluctant readers, people who aren't, all of us here are obviously readers and already see the kind of the importance of this, but you have people who don't read as a part of their life. How do you help them find the
basically
books?
Of course, a habit that you have been developing since your childhood. It's starting from the early age, but then you need to decide on the right genre of what type of books people want to read. Some people just want to read more novels. Some people are more into nonfiction, history, mythology, self-help books, novellas, poetry. Then if they decide on the right genre, then from there we can actually take it what type of text they can help.
And of course, as you said, audiobooks can really help if you're not
a reader.
I think, and I've spoken previously many times about how much I love audiobooks. One of the other things I was bringing up, we have The Novel Cure, which is a book we've been looking at by Ella Bertold and Susan Elderkin, and I know that Ella came to do the workshops with you, Alia, so I think she obviously has a huge amount to offer in this
The Novel Cure is definitely, I think, for, let's say, teenagers up to adults. And then there's also The Story Cure, which is for children, but equally for adults. So one of the interesting things that Ella was telling us, that picture books and some stories that are usually sort of categorized as children's story can make an impact on adults as well. And another form that we're actually looking into with the UAE Board on Books for young people is silent books. So silent books are entirely made up of illustrations and open to interpretation and imagination at the same time, if you think of it. So it's fantastic for people who maybe, or children that can't read yet, or just, you know, adults that sort of want to look at it. And, you know, they, through the visual sort of storytelling, you're able to describe something or come out with your own story. And every time you pick up a silent book, which is entirely made of a picture, you can see something new and recreate it. So your imagination is always working. It's not sort of limited by what the word is saying. You know, there's much more sort of richness within that experience.
And you put different emotions into the characters that you're seeing and different ways of showing out, playing out one scenario.
So, yeah, so that's the thing. I mean, I don't think bibliotherapy should just limit, you know, novels for adults, picture stories for children, and let's say silent books for... there's also graphic novels, and they're coming up with quite good content that, you know, touches upon certain things and certain social issues as well. So there's so many different forms of, let's say, reading and literature out there, and it's just about finding the correct way. I mean, I personally love poetry, so I find myself reading a lot of poetry that resonates with me, what I'm going through at a specific time. Other people may pick up a book, an older book, you know, and that gives them that sort of idea of, I overheard you guys talking about safety and feeling safe about like an old book that, so it brings back memories. There's so many different ways and not limiting to that per se, you know.
I thought one thing that was interesting that Ella says, and The Novel Cure is a collection, very in-depth of which books you could read to help you with particular different situations.
And there are all sorts
fatherhood,
of situations.
Yes, dinner parties, fear of, for example. control, out of. Yeah. Broke, being. And I think one thing that's interesting that Ella said, I saw this on a very interesting YouTube video actually that she had, is that the important thing is how the characters are shown. So that it what works better is books that show rather than tell, which is something as an editor we do an awful lot of work on. So where you're actually showing the emotions through how the character is feeling and responding, as opposed to saying she was upset. And that apparently is for her, in her experience, has been very key to the finding the right texts.
I just want to add that there's also a lot of journal entries and talking about self-help books. So I think that's also another difference between self-help books and bibliotherapy through literature.
Yeah.
Let's say self-help book, you pick it up, you know, sort of you have an outcome that you want to reach. That one sort of is a little bit, you need to discover it. So mm-hmm. there's a sense of mystery and you're trying to figure it out on your own rather than someone telling you, well, this is how you will, you know, deal with your situation, A, B, C, D. You need to change the way you think. You need to behave this way. So I think literature allows you a little bit more of a fluid experience and sort of self-discovery, let's say.
Because for some people, depending on what they're going through, and Gandhi, you might agree with this as well, you're the expert here, that when you are going through something particularly difficult, being confronted with a solution directly isn't necessarily what you want, is it sometimes?
So you want
a roundabout way of discovering.
You want a subtle answer sometimes for certain difficult situations. And I mean, I agree with you, but on the other hand, there are really good self-help books also which can help people to heal themselves, and I don't really differentiate between fiction and fiction in terms of healing. For me, the reading is the main theme. As long as you just concentrate on reading, and I mean, you can have a very simple problem like boredom. You need to divert your mind from a specific problem because you get angry with someone on that day. Then reading a specific text can help you to just get rid of this problem. You don't need to have something serious, but you're right. And when you have something serious, a problem like grief, you don't want to just sometimes want to read books about grief specifically.
Exactly.
And you want to read something else like poetry or mythology. For me, like spiritual books, for example, help.
Yeah. And for me, I'd go back to books that I've read in the past. Childhood books, something like Anne of Green Gables, which is one
and
of the things I come back to.
And it's another thing also maybe we need to mention. Mm-hmm. I mean, certain books which have been described in those books, basically they belong to certain cultures. And if you are coming from a particular culture, you might want to read something related to your own culture as well, to your own environment where you grew up yourself, about your own city, your own village. I don't know. It also helps to heal people.
I agree with you. That's one of the actual...
Even language.
The language. So this sort of comes to the discussion that we had in the bibliotherapy workshop, that we don't have a list of books at the moment, so we are hoping to create a list of 100 Arabic books to be able to sort of accommodate to children that, you know, don't necessarily speak English. So it is an important thing to think about.
They can identify themselves with their own language.
Because they need
language,
to identify themselves at the
end of the day.
Absolutely.
It ties into a discussion we were having earlier about Castor, about how important it is to see yourself represented in the books that you read.
Exactly. So this is an initiative that we're working very much and looking at, not just like sort of the classics, but also looking at more contemporary new books that are coming. It is a process. It is a process to sort of identify the different emotions and, you know, what you can take out of it. But obviously it's a sensitive topic. Like you said, you don't want to read about grief when you're grieving, for example. Some people would rather something more uplifting. So looking at all these different elements is very important. It's an ongoing discussion
between a personal experience,
exactly.
Basically.
So
I think it depends.
And it has to be, you have to be very sensitive to whoever is going through what they're going through. Again, you know, it's not just, you know, let's just recommend because this was what we found in it. You know, it's an ongoing discussion with a group of authors. So, yeah.
That's really interesting. I'd love to hear what you come up with in due course.
Hopefully very soon.
That's about all we have time for the bibliotherapy chat today. But thank you so much to Gamzee and Alia for coming on the show. It's been wonderful having you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.